3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Welcome to another exciting episode of NIDS Knowledge, a weekly show of the National Institute for Deterrence Studies, where we are advancing peace, promoting stability, and helping you to think deterrence. Each week, we inform you about a deterrence topic and its value in preserving peace. We hope you enjoy this show.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another electrifying episode of NIDS Knowledge, the podcast where we illuminate all things deterrence. I'm your host, Jim Petrosky, president of the National Institute for Deterrence Studies, and today we're flipping the switch on a topic that's as current as your morning coffee, that is energy resiliency. So take off your tinfoil hats, put on your power-regulated thinking caps, and let's plug into the deterrence grid. As always, I must start with a definitional detour, and that is of resiliency. And I'll relate it to an often conflated word, survivability. We'll start with survivability. Survivability is the ability to take a hit and still be standing or operating. For example, my 1996 Ford F-250, no matter how hard I accidentally back into a tree or try not to have a tree fall on it, and it does anyway, it just keeps going despite that slightly bent drive shaft. Now, resiliency, on the other hand, is the ability to bounce back, adapt, and keep going. Like your favorite rubber duck in a hurricane, it goes underwater and bounces back up, goes underwater and bounces back up. In energy terms, survivability is about enduring the initial shock. Resiliency is about restoring power, rerouting energy, and keeping the lights on when unexpected things happen. Now, when we talk about energy resilience, most people picture a kinetic attack, missiles, bombs, and the big Hollywood stuff. But that's just one flavor of the threat. Let's expand the menu. Terrorist attacks. Think of physical damage of substations or pipelines. Natural disasters. Hurricanes, earthquakes, and yes, even space weather. If you haven't heard of the Carrington event of 1859, it was a solar storm which fried telegraph wires over large areas of the Earth. Imagine what it would do to our modern grid and dependence on electricity. Spoiler alert, it's not pretty, and it is a totally natural event. A man-made version of this event is the electromagnetic pulse that can be produced by a high-altitude detonation of a nuclear weapon. But it essentially does the same things. And then cyber attacks, which are silent assassins of the digital age. No explosions, no cascading failures, just blinking routers. Energy resilience means preparing for all of these, not just the ones with dramatic soundtracks. So here's a fun fact about the U.S. We don't have one power grid, we have three. The Eastern Interconnection, the Western Interconnection, the Texas Interconnection, because of course, Texas does its own thing. Oh, and that Eastern grid, it's partially dependent on Canada. So yes, your toaster might be powered by maple syrup diplomacy. Do you think this is a good idea for national security? I sure don't. So what's the solution? A modern approach to power distribution that is more resilient is this. It can come from smaller footprints, think microgrids and state-controlled nodes. Interdependence, sharing among regions and states. And redundancy, so if one part goes down, others can pick up the slack. This approach makes it harder for an adversary to cripple the entire system. It increases the number of targets they need to hit and speeds up recovery by enabling energy sharing. It's like turning our grid from a piece of glass to a trampoline. It's harder to break, flexes, and bounces back when hit with a rock. And that's one of those don't tell mom moments from my daughter's childhood. Shh, don't tell her. Let's face it, the U.S. power grid is a bit like Frankenstein's monster. Stitched together over decades, a little scary in a storm, and prone to dramatic power outages. Well, that last part, probably not Frankenstein. But if we want true energy resiliency, we need to evolve from patchwork to powerhouse. Here's what that means. Building modern switching technologies into the grid. Today's grid still relies on mechanical switches that would make Nikola Tesla roll over in his coil. Upgrading to digital automatic switching systems allows for faster rerouting of power and better fault isolation. Think of it as giving a grid a functional nervous system instead of a rotary phone. Building systems underground. Transformers, switching stations, and power lines are often exposed like sunbathers in a lightning storm. Moving them underground protects against hurricanes and tornadoes, ice storms and wildfires, direct impacts of electromagnetic pulse, and yes, even those pesky squirrels with a vendetta against transformers. Yes, you can see that one on YouTube. Now, we need a national coordination to make this happen because it isn't just a state issue. A resilient grid is a national security imperative, a coordinated federal effort. Think of it as a Manhattan Project for megawatts that could standardize upgrades, fund innovation, and ensure that no state is left behind in the dark. The result? A grid that is not just harder to break, but smarter, faster, and more adaptable. It's like upgrading from a flip phone to a quantum computer, except this one powers your refrigerator. Now, regarding deterrence, resiliency adds to the calculus of an adversary taking an action against us. If our power grid is not resilient, our adversaries may take advantage of the confusion caused by a national loss of power, and if they think they succeed in causing our capitulation, they may try it. However, if instead we have a resilient system, capable of bouncing back and continuing to press the fight, an adversary just might think twice and decide to play nice in the global sandbox. So what did we learn today? Resiliency is about bouncing back, not just surviving. Threats to our energy grid come in many forms, some you can't even see or predict. The U.S. grid is a patchwork quilt, not a single blanket. And a modern, distributed, redundant grid is our best bet for keeping the lights on, no matter what. I'll be discussing this further in my subsequent productions of NIDS Knowledge. I know you can't wait. Well, thanks for tuning in to NIDS Knowledge, where we power up your understanding of deterrence one electron at a time. If you like this episode, check out our other shows, The NIDS View, Deterrence Down Under, and Real Space Strategy with Chris Stone. And always visit our website at thinkdeterrence.com. I especially thank our producer, Kimberly Charrington, our sponsors, and the brilliant minds at the National Institute for Deterrence Studies. Next time, stay resilient, and don't forget to unplug your toaster during a solar storm. It might help. A production of the National Institute for Deterrence Studies.
The NIDS Podcasting Network.